Good morning. I hope it is a good morning for you. It is good for me. It's good for Harold and I. And we praise God for that. Harold was studying some Bible references online and found our website and checked through the scriptures through some of that, and came last week to meet you and he and his family to spend last Sunday, and came, tried to contact each other, or tried to contact me this week, but came this morning saying, I want to be baptized. So we are very excited for that and thrilled for our new relationship together, and we look forward to our walk together in the Lord. Real quickly, the situation in Anchor Point is not a terrible one. I was hoping when I went down there to be able to truly reconcile John McLemore with the congregation. In other words, that he wouldn't be let go, that he'd stay on as the preacher there and that sort of thing. He's a good young man. He didn't make any moral or doctrinal errors that I know of. He wasn't, you know. But the situation did not work out, and that's the sad part of it, is that he is going to move on. But the congregation isn't split. It's not going in seven different directions, and they are working hard to stay loving and unified. So the church in Anchor Point is doing okay. There is only one person I know of that out of this is going to church now in Homer, simply out of the difficulty of letting a preacher go like that. So we need to keep praying for them and for unity and for God's will. And pray for the McLemores. I'm not sure if they're staying in Alaska or not, but hopefully they'll come up here and visit with us before they leave, if they are going to leave the state. And you'll get to meet John and his wife and his little children. So, some good news and some not so good news there. Isn't this beginning of Valentine's week? Anybody been buying cards? Wearing your red today, get hearts on your heart stickers to go on things at home. And bulletin boards start to look reddish and heart-like. So I often think of those subjects in light of that. And so I said, well, I'm not going to do just a love of God lesson. Let's apply the love of God. And so I was thinking of this lesson, been working on this for a while, and I have, you know, my normal seven pages of notes here. It's only three. Anyway, and I looked, and I don't have a single scripture with the word love in it. I'm not sure what that means. With hundreds and hundreds of scriptures with love in it in the Bible, there's not a single one in this morning's lesson. Let's go to our Father in prayer as we get ready to hear His word. Holy Father, precious God, we praise you. We pray that you'll help us all to get out of the way and let your word speak to our hearts. Help us to be soft in your word and in your will. Help us to be obedient to your teachings, Father. We are so grateful for the way that you do give your love in infinite and magnificent ways. Father, help us to be humble before it and obedient in it, appreciative and glorifying in all we are and do. I thank you, Father, for giving us the opportunity to meet together this morning, for help us to apply your love as individuals, as families, and as a congregation. And Father, please help me to get out of the way. Please help me to get completely out of the way, that your word can teach what it dearly needs to. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you were going to boil it all down, your Christianity, if you were going to tell somebody how to walk and please God, if you were going to say, well, you know, let me think of one verse, just kind of define the whole thing in one verse, or what you ought to do in one verse, I'm sure if we didn't know the Bible, and we knew what Christ had done for us, and our appreciation in Him, and our application of His love and His will in our lives, I don't think one of us would have written this sentence out. I don't think any of us would have written this sentence. James 1, verse 27. Now, this isn't exactly, this doesn't exactly spell out Christianity in one sentence. But it does say that it is defining pure and undefiled religion. Pure and undefiled religion is this: in the sight of our God and Father, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Isn't that an interesting way to boil down how to walk with God and please Him? You'd think it'd be sacrifice, it'd be Christ-likeness, it'd be, I don't know, you could define it a lot of different ways, but to pick out, this is in the sight of our God and Father, to pick out, visit orphans and widows in their distress. The second half doesn't surprise us quite as much. There's nothing unimportant, obviously, about orphans and widows. None of us would cast that aside. But it's interesting that it's raised up to such a level. And then again, maybe not so interesting or surprising. Keep oneself unstained by the world. Well, that's not very surprising. The world is a filthy mud pit filled with deadly, dangerous viruses and diseases, any one of which will kill you. And to advise somebody to stay away from the stains of the world is direct and wise advice. A man much smarter than I said, you know, there are only a few things that are absolutely constant in Scripture. He was talking about how the covenants change. I'm beginning to echo here. He was talking about how the covenants change before God. The covenant with Adam and Eve, the covenant with Noah, the covenant with Abraham, the covenant through Moses, and finally the covenant available to us in Christ, how the parameters and the definitions of those covenants have changed. And he said, but there are a few things that have stayed constant. One is moral teaching. Lying, stealing, murder, etc. has always been wrong before God. Another one is male leadership. Adam and Eve were established that way, and you read all the way through the New Testament, and we still have the same parameters of headship in a family being male, of leadership in the church being with men. We can't always define it or explain it, but we find it. It's consistent from beginning to end. That hasn't changed. And that was the man's major point that made this quotation. And the last one that's constant is God's character. God is the same. Of course, we read that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But He, in with God, maintains a constant character. But it's interesting, if you go back to some of the earliest teachings given by God, and specifically the law in Exodus, Exodus 22, verse 21, among the laws given, you shall not wrong a stranger or oppress him, Exodus 22, 21. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall not afflict any widow or orphan. If you afflict him at all, and if he does cry out to me, I will surely hear his cry, and my anger will be kindled, and I will kill you with the sword. And your wives shall become widows, and your children shall be orphans or fatherless. Fatherless is a
is a common translation of the word orphan in Scripture. And it's interesting the parallel between the commonality between what a widow is and what a fatherless is both of them are missing the man in their life. Both of them are missing the protection, the leadership, the support, the care, the enveloping presence of a loving man in their life.
But God's very serious. Verse 25, if you lend money to my people, to the poor among you, you are not to act as a creditor to him. You shall not charge him interest. God very specifically is giving them, the Israelites, a law of care and attention, of compassion. And he's writing it in the law. You need to take care of widows and orphans. If you don't, and they complain to me, there's going to be a few more widows and orphans. Yikes. Ouch. Deuteronomy. This is Moses teaching out of the law, out of the mouth of God, continuation of ideas from the law. Exodus is the law. Specifically, Deuteronomy is a continuation of God's law and will to Israel. Deuteronomy 22, verse 12. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, I'm in Deuteronomy 10 now, verse 14. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven. It's interesting he's giving us this here. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the highest heavens, the earth and all that is in it. Yet on your fathers did the Lord set his affection to love them. And he chose, and he chose his descendants after them, even you above all peoples, as it is this day. So circumcise your heart and stiffen your neck no longer. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God who does not show partiality nor take a bribe. He executes justice for the orphan and the widow and shows his love for the alien by giving him food and clothing. So show your love for the alien. For you are aliens in the land of Egypt, and you shall fear the Lord your God, and you shall serve him and cling to him, and you shall swear by his name. He is your praise, and he is your God, who has done these great and awesome things for you, which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt, 70 persons in all. And now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars of heaven. From the earliest instructions to Israel, God lays out their instruction to take care of widows and orphans, and then his character as being one who takes care of widows and orphans. This continues through the teachings to Israel. Isaiah says this in chapter 1, verse 16. Wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from thy sight. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Reprove the ruthless. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly the mouth of the Lord has spoken. In God's rebuke to Israel, and to, by the way, in Exodus 34, to the elders of Israel. So when CB and I want to humble ourselves, all we have to do is read Exodus 34. It's one of the most terrifying rebukes
given to elders. They were elders of the nation of Israel, not church elders, but the word elder is through the whole thing, and the idea is very similar of how the elders did not take care of the weak and the hurting, how the elders used the weak among them to feed themselves, how they went into the flock and slaughtered the flock for their own benefit and their own good. It's terrifying. And over again, God warns that what they failed to do wasn't just not obey His law, but they failed to have compassion for the weak and the poor around them, for the widows and the orphans. Psalm chapter 68, verse 5. A father of the fatherless and a judge for the widows is God in His holy habitation. God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity. Only the rebellious dwell in the parched land. That's an interesting one. These are connected to God's character. God is a father to the fatherless, a judge for the widows. He makes a home for the lonely. He takes the prisoners out of prison and puts them into prosperity. There are some that are left out of this, but it's the rebellious. Don't let rebellion live in your heart. Not at any level. Don't be rebellious about well, it's tax month, right? 15th of February, we got to pay. Carol just reminded me this week. Ouch, I forgot about that one. For those of you who pay your property taxes separately, it's due on the 15th of February. Don't be rebellious about paying your taxes. Don't be rebellious about obeying the law. Don't be rebellious about standing in line at the store. Don't be rebellious about obeying your parents. Don't be rebellious about submitting to one another. Don't be rebellious. Rebellion will grow, and it's the rebellious who are going to live in a parched land that's outside the favor of God. When you have the fatherless being cared for and the widows being cared for and the lonely being cared for and the prisoners being cared for, it's only the rebellious who are left away. You know, this isn't very surprising, really. This character of caring for people is exactly what Jesus taught us in Matthew chapter 25. Verse 34, the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me drink. I'm sorry, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer them, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. And in Luke chapter 6, what we read a few weeks ago here, but I say to you who hear, verse 27, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you. Whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back.
Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. Love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Okay, so the word love is buried in there several times. From these scriptures, we get two of the big reasons why. We get two big reasons why we're told to take care of widows and orphans. One is, it's your test. Don't you love being given answers to the test before the test comes? I know you don't really like that. I know as students, you guys really don't want the test answers, right? You'd really just have the source material, and would you prefer to study and study and study and know all of the material. So no matter what test question you get asked, you're prepared for it, right? You'd rather do that. No? Thank you, Mike. Okay, we want to get the... We're not going to have any questions on pages 34 and 35.
Yeah, me too. Appreciate that we're going to be tested on something specific, and it's a lot easier when you know what the questions are going to be. Jesus says that the kingdom of God is like this: a king asking and praising those on his right and those on his left, those who have taken care of the poor and the hungry and the thirsty and the naked and the lonely and the sick. And those who haven't. So one is, it's part of the test questions. It's what we're going to be challenged on. How caring was your life? How loving was your life? How connected were you to people of need around you? And the second big thing, when you read to the bottom of Luke chapter 6 where we read, you do that. Love in difficult times and in difficult places to people who are difficult to love, and you will be like God. You will be sons of the Most High God, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. So when we get to this goal in our life, or pathway in our life of being disciples of Christ, this is some of the exact stuff He's asking us for. Be like Him. Be His disciple. Act like Him. There's another great big reason. If we don't take care of those who are hurting and needy around us, who are lonely, They may have no problem with the bank account. They may have no problem making the rent payments. They may have no problem with clothing or food. The problem may be in the heart. Brokenness, loneliness, hurts. Life just isn't very easy anymore as an orphan or as a widow. If we can't have that compassion, we forgot who we are and where we came from. For outside of Christ, you're an orphan. And you're a widow. We're an orphan because it's in Christ we get reunited with our real father. And outside of Christ, you're not reunited with him. You're separate from him, like an orphan. And outside of Christ, you're married to the world. That's your husband. And the world is dead and death. And it's like a widow, having no one there to support, no one there to help, no one there in whom to hope. But in Christ, we're married and reunited as a bride to her groom. So when we read in James chapter 1 that real religion is this, in the sight of God and Father, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world, we're just remembering our own path. We're simply remembering where we were and where we would be. And to say, well, I got my life settled. Let me know when you get yours settled and we'll, you know, go play cards together someplace. We're forgetting who we are and what he did for us and where we've come from. This morning, if there's any here who need to be baptized into Christ, Harold has set us a good example to start the day with, by being baptized just as our service was starting today. Let's live lives that have the compassion daily, physically, specifically, that God has called us to. And in that, we walk open-faced, honestly to Christ. And if you're not baptized into Christ, you say, Lord, I need you first, and second, I need to walk in you, that I can turn to the hurting and the helpless and to love there and give your hands and help there. If any have any other need, if your rebellion has risen up in your life so that you've turned away from him, or any other need that we can help you with, please come forward while we stand and sing the song that Stephen selected.